This coming Friday, a virtual benefit, Playing Through the Changes, in support of the Jazz House Kids Relief Fund. It's coming up June 19th at 7:30, streaming on all the platforms of Jazz House Kids. That's jazzhousekids.org and the Facebook page as well. And joining us is the president and founder of Jazz House Kids and singer, Melissa Walker. Melissa, great to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you. Thank you for having me, Doug.
Melissa, you've been experiencing what educators, teachers, musicians, performers are all going through during the coronavirus pandemic, a real shift of all your activities to online, and now comes Playing Through the Changes in support of Jazz House Kids Relief Fund coming up this Friday, June 19th at 7:30. Tell us about it.
It's going to be a very, very special evening. Of course, it's an auspicious occasion, Juneteenth. And that is only fitting for a music that was the story of African-American people brought here as enslaved people, and this music that really rings across the world now as freedom, as liberation, as improvisation and creativity. And so we decided that on such an occasion, we would bring many, many of the friends who have supported and been a part of this organization, mentoring and serving as role models for so many of the young people that have gone through the Jazz House. We would bring them together to help us play through the changes. And this is in support of the newly formed Jazz House Kids Relief Fund. So we have a tremendous group of acclaimed artists joining us. First, we're going to play a lot of the rare footage that we did through the course of the last 18 years. So footage from Inside the Jazz Note, the Montclair Jazz Festival, our special galas that we host from time to time. So we will bring up that great archival footage and those conversations that Christian often has with these amazing artists. And then we'll see many of the artists at home giving us messages or even performing. So we've got Chick Corea, Diane Reeves, Eddie Palmieri, Wynton Marsalis and Bill Charlap, Andra Day, Ravi Coltrane, Dee Dee Bridgewater, Diana Krall, Ingrid Jensen, Jose James, David Sanborn. Of course, he will be performing with the late and the immortal Al Jarreau, Sheila E., Christian McBride, Big Band, and I'll be performing with him. Those are just, and Angelique Kidjo. Those are just a few of the names that are joining us that evening. So it's very, very special, and we are, you know, sincerely touched by their support.
The evening's going to be hosted by Lester Holt of NBC and curated, of course, by your husband, Christian McBride, who you've already mentioned. You and Christian have had to deal with this coronavirus pandemic. How about personally, before we get more into the concert itself, how have you both been handling this crisis?
You know, I think like everyone, it has evolved. It has evolved from just great fear and uncertainty, a sense of sadness and loss. You know, we've lost friends. You know, many friends have gotten quite sick, took them a long time to recover, and others did not. Just this sense, you know, Christian was on the road with Chick Corea and Brian Blade, and, you know, they got the call when the man in the White House said, you better get home, and we're going to be closing down the borders. And, you know, they came back, and, you know, went immediately into quarantine. What is quarantine? What's going to happen to us? So it was a really tough time in that mid-March. You know, for a lot of us, we were watching it in April, in February. Matter of fact, Christian and I were on a cruise, a jazz cruise, in late January, when we first heard that cruises were being shut down and there was this virus that we started to hear about. And then all through February. So it has certainly been a challenging time. And then we all had to, you know, we had to get on the same page. You know, how committed were we going to be to sheltering in place, to kind of working this out with, you know, are we going to watch news every 5 minutes all day long? You know, how are we going to get through this together? And, you know, just having a lot of patience for each other because we're coming at it from different perspectives. And so this has been a real time. I think it's been a time that has tested individuals and families and couples. And, you know, I hope and I think we're stronger today. But it was certainly challenging at the beginning of this.
When COVID-19 actually hit, Jazz House Kids actually kept playing. You felt it was essential for kids to keep on going, and you had to pivot to online classes and delivered financial aid and even groceries to families at most at risk in the area, creating new gig opportunities online for faculty, and launched a free online series called Hang at Home Listening Party, attracting nearly 200,000 viewers from more than 50 countries and counting. That couldn't have been easy.
No, I gotta hand it to my team. I think the alert went out all through New Jersey that we were going in lockdown on Monday, March 16th. The only day we missed was Sunday, March 15th. 2 weeks prior, our team started to get ready, really started to think about and investigate what kind of technology we could use. We started to have family calls, student calls, get them ready, make sure that they had what they needed. And we knew we wanted to immediately pivot to online. Now, we didn't really know what that meant exactly and what that would hold in store. But we just knew that we've always been playing through the changes. I mean, a few years ago when there was the state of emergency and we had that flood, Doug, Jazz House, we had to pivot our location. But we pivoted and transferred the whole entire festival to another location. When we had that heat wave, the hottest day of the year a few years prior to that, Jazz House played through the changes as well. And our fans went right along with us. And we've just really known over the years that we are that place that has just been there for people, even in challenging times. And we weren't going to let this be any different. But like I said, we didn't really know what that meant. And it has been a learning curve. The faculty have really stepped up to the plate because, we had 18 ensembles that were meant to play music together. Well, that's not what you're really able to do without a great deal of consternation, and with people having different technology and internet speeds, et cetera. So we didn't have a perfect system, but I think the young people knew that they could count on us being there. And after a day of uncertainty and all of their classes online, they knew they would come in the evening and see their fellow musicians and their faculty. And we felt that was really important. And, look, for musicians, they're in a gig economy. And many of them have made wonderful livelihoods for their family. But they're living gig to gig. And so the last thing they needed was for us to pull out all of those gigs out from under them. And again, we knew to really survive, we needed to be there. And then Christian and I just kind of thought, well, we're home. And we used to host these parties, or we still do, called these listening parties. And we have people into our house. And, Christian talks about, different aspects of the music. And we've had many, many over the years. And we thought, let's bring in the global community to our house. And we started these listening parties. And the very first one actually was a solo one that Christian did on McCoy Tyner, not long after he passed. And then since then, we've invited an incredible array of artists into our house each and every week. And it has really been, beautiful with Diane Reeves and Carmen Lundy and Veronica Swift. And we did an amazing on Latin jazz just a couple of weeks ago. The saxophone, trumpet players, Jeff Tane Watts, the coach of the Dallas Mavericks. We've just been bringing in so many artists to talk about, some of their favorite artists, why this music matters to them. And then to allow people to comment and call in and ask questions. And, what we've really learned is that, music has a special way of transcending these times, transcending and also reflecting and speaking for these times. And so when you listen from episode to episode, we're going to talk about, at the top of the show, we're always going to talk about what's going on, as Marvin Gaye would say. So we're going to talk about Black Lives Matter, and we're going to talk about the injustice. We're going to talk about the the impatience of jazz as an art form that is always changing, and the impatience of this time to see change. And I think for all of us, who have been a part of this, and you hear some 200,000 people in 50 countries, I mean, that's people getting up early in the morning or staying up, you know, late at night. It has meant something to them. And Christian and I are just so happy to, you know, kind of work through Jazz House Kids to maybe wash away the blues and be a place for people, again, that can count on us being there and having this music speak when sometimes words just simply aren't enough.
Christian McBride, not only the host of Jazz Night in America on WBGO and NPR, it really could be Jazz Night in America and around the world, because everybody is listening, as you mentioned, these parties that you're having at home and as well as on the air. When you and Christian are talking to youngsters during this difficult time, what message do you have for the young musicians when you talk about the protests that they're seeing and the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis? I'm sure you've had some hard conversations.
Yeah, of course, of course. It's a great question. And, you know, many of our young people are at the forefront of this. You know, they're pushing us, they're pushing their families, they're asking a lot of questions. And in many ways, you know, the young people that we serve, you know, they came up at a time where they saw a Black president, where they witnessed women running for president, where they, you know, have gender fluidity, where they are very comfortable with people who don't look like themselves. And so in a way, we have, you know, they sometimes look at us and say, you know, what's with you guys? You know, they have in many ways lots of different kinds of friends. And I'm really encouraged to see the kinds of things that are happening. You know, some of our young students, they're hosting concerts on their front yard and they're raising funds. They're out there, they're marching. Our alumni are getting together at the end of the month to have a conversation on social justice and what that means and what does it mean to really take personal responsibility. And I think the place for the Jazz House, I mean, first of all, it was built on the notion of social justice. You know, my story is one that I have shared, being the youngest of a mother and father who were married at a time when over half of America said it was illegal for an African-American and an Italian-American to get married. My father spent the first night in jail or, you know, down at the precinct. It was only until somebody saw him on the cover of Look magazine, because he was an All-American at the University of Michigan, that he was released on the night of his wedding. By the way, that was a wedding where he eloped. And why did he elope? He eloped because my mother's family divorced her, literally from the family. And so our whole being has been one that has been struggling with this notion of race. And so it was really near, it's obviously part of the fabric of which my life has been woven, and certainly the fabric of this music. So, you know, this issue of social justice hasn't been a talking point for Jazz House. It's been part of the fabric. And it's really important to us that we work with all kinds of people. And that's why we work with kids with special needs, because every child has a song in their heart, and work in ungraded special education schools. That's why we go into underserved school districts. That's why we're delivering food right now, because for certain families with food scarcity, because we don't feel that you can leave people behind. It's not enough to cast a net and say, well, as many jump in the net as you can, and we're going to keep moving. You know, if that were the case, then I wouldn't be here where I am. And so, you know, it's really important to us that Jazz House stand for that. And what we keep telling our young people is there's nothing in America, there's no significant progress in America that did not happen without protest. Nothing. It all happens when you move status quo, when you change their hearts, when you test their resolve, when you put your resolve against theirs. And that's how changes happen. And so we applaud We applaud people today and the greater community of people, the moms and the dads and the grandparents who have all coming together right now. So we think this is a watershed moment. It's going to last. We've been working at this for a long time, Doug, right?
Absolutely.
You can listen back and you can listen to John F. Kennedy speeches, or you can listen to Martin Luther King, or, you can listen to E.B. Du Bois and we're still grappling with this thing called race in America. But I think this is a watershed moment. And we feel that our young people at Jazz House Kids are poised for this, because they are poised to listen to other voices and to celebrate our differences and to make music out of them. And that's what they've been doing. So I think jazz is really a place that is an incubator for what it means to be a community.
And those who know Melissa Walker's story about your parents, they went on to be both educators, an amazing story. Speaking of educators, one of the coolest events of this online benefit is the Jazz House Alumni Super Band. Talk about it.
Oh, Doug, that is like my favorite. It's the alumni who really are, I think, the heart and soul of the moving forward of this organization. It's young people who've come into this organization, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and they have dedicated themselves to their craft, to communicating with other people, with learning how to express themselves. And when they graduate, we are so proud of them. And many of them are doing great things on the bandstand. I mean, you can see young people playing all over. They're working, they're at tremendous schools, they're already out there as professionals. But they come back to the Jazz House and they help pull somebody else up. They act as a tremendous inspiration for our young people. And when they walk in that back in the big band room and they see all the awards and all the plaques, they know when they sit down in that chair, they're going to better bring their best self, because that's kind of the tradition that has been at the Jazz House. So when one of the young people came to me early on and said, I can't believe it. He said, Doug, He said, I'm back in my childhood bedroom. Here he is getting his advanced degree at one of the top institutions. And he said, I'm back at home with mom and dad. I'm not out there playing. I thought I'd be out in New York City. And he was really struggling. And he wondered, he said, when I thought about what shaped my life to where I am, he said, I really realized besides my family, it was the Jazz House. And that's where I got my friends that I have today. I still live with a few. It's the music that I play. It's the values that I have. And so he said, do you think we could gather them together? And so that embarked upon an interesting conversation we had early on. We got about 75 of our alums together who just jumped on Saturday afternoon concert. And out of that, we thought, could we do a few things? So we did a porch party concerts, and we asked them to go out, and Christian and I went, and we just played for our neighbors to get out of the house. And then we decided to work on a special recording. And so thanks to a very, very talented musician, his name is trumpeter Nathan Eklund, part of our faculty, he put together a 75-piece super band. And for your audience who may not know, when they are watching right now these collaborative online performances, they're actually watching people who have recorded one instrument or one vocal line at a time. And so everybody records it individually, and then they are woven together. So he had to take this group of 75 musicians, and he broke them down into like four big bands or so, gigantic big bands. And just intricately weave together this, incredible rendition that I won't even tell them more than that because they've got to come on next Friday and we will debut it. And I just think of it as, you know, the Jazz House alumni to the rescue, because I think each and every one of them knows the tremendous role this organization, the faculty, the people, the staff, and the fans have played in the development of their lives. And I think in that true fashion of being neighborly and civic engagement, they've come back to the Jazz House, put their talent to work, and we're going to kick off the show. Lester Holt will kick it off with this alumni debut performance of the Jazz House Superband.
We're speaking with Melissa Walker, the president and founder of Jazz House Kids, also a tremendous singer. Now, Jazz House Kids has impacted nearly 50,000 young musicians through more than 15 years of work, an NEA grant recipient, but funding difficult for all arts organizations during this crucial time and the coronavirus pandemic. Obviously, the need for funds.
Yeah, you know, right now for arts organizations all over, tremendously impacted by that. I mean, if you think about it, there are, you know, cancellations of programs. There are those that are looking for refunds for tickets that they don't have. Cancellation of fundraising events. Contributed income, and that's what you call it, the gifts from the generosity, from large to small donations, they represent the vast majority of the income that an organization like ours exists from. So when you take that footing, and in an instant, Jazz House Kids lost 22% of its income. And that's not even looking down the road to say, well, what does our late summer, our fall, and even our winter look like? So the board of directors of Jazz House Kids established the Jazz House Relief Fund to ensure that our doors could keep swinging open. And we are asking for people to give whatever they can. If you believe in this movement of using jazz as this tremendous teaching tool for our young people and for them to chart a course for their future, that you would give to this organization that we can keep moving and swinging and keeping things moving forward. And so we are at the beginning of this journey. It is going to be a journey. We've got a lot of ground. And I think the organization that has been here for 18 years that so many people have invested in, it's worth fighting for. I think the young people that will kick off the show will tell you how your return on your investment looks. Let me say that again. I think the young people who will kick off the night will give you a sense of how your return on your investment looks. And we just hope everybody will come and give us a hand. There's no dollar too small. And of course, there's nothing too large. But all of it together can make a difference. And it will.
Has the coronavirus pandemic or the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis prompted a new creative project from you and Christian, or a new song?
You know, Christian would, in many ways, would say, you know, this moment, and I think older generations would say, we have been here before. We have seen this, and we have been broken by this. But I think the resolve of today is that no more. It is that no more. We immediately put out a statement that Black Lives Matter for Jazz House Kids. I think it was a statement we felt was clear in our actions, but something that we knew we wanted to make sure that people knew where we stood. But I think the resolve that we have and that we instill and want to share with the young people and the faculty is that we will be there for them to make their protest, to make sure their voices are heard. I think, Doug, we are all tired of this. And we know this is a choice that America has made. This is not the way we have to live. We do not have to live in this way. And I think we feel very resolved that we will be a part of seeing it through. It's been a 400-year journey, But this is a moment that we will see through and stand by. And, you know, last night, Kevin Eubanks was on Hang at Home, and he said, you know, he said he almost doesn't have a song right now. And I understand that, too. Because when you have been fighting this battle for so long, to really be seen for who you are, it is time for people of all colors to get up and stand up, look at themselves, and make a change. And that's what we want to see happen. It is not only a time when brown and black people need to stand up. No, it is a time where white Americans and people around this world need to stand up and say, we can have a different world. And, you know, I think so. We just had to double down on it, you know. But I will tell you, before we could double down, watching the death of George Floyd, the gunning down of Ahmaud Arbery, of watching the woman in the park with her dog basically call out rape. That is the equivalent of what that woman did. Really brought us to our knees for a moment. And but, you know, like this music, we had to get up and move on forward. But those three things together, I think, are just such a moment that we're going to make sure that we do everything we can, that this goes all the way, not only to that election, but it goes and makes sure that we reform the systematic racism that is embedded in this nation. And it's seen in all aspects of this nation. And so we are very encouraged to see the military come forward, and then they need to change their bases. You know, we're very encouraged to see that corporate America are having meetings and looking more closely at their own ranks and file. It's just not okay. And I think, you know, that's how we feel about it over here, and that we're going to stand tall with everybody else. But this is a moment that we should come out of this changed. The pandemic changed us. This insidious form of racism and bigotry and social injustice, this is the moment, America. This is the moment that we can grasp for a new day.
Playing Through the Changes in support of Jazz House Kids Relief Fund, a virtual benefit, June 19th at 7:30. Melissa Walker, there are several ways to see this event. Tell us what they are.
Absolutely. So, of course, you can check out our website, jazzhousekids.org. We'll be streaming live there, Eastern Time, 7:30 Eastern Time. You can also go on our YouTube channel and check it out there. We will be streaming on our Facebook Live, Jazz House Kids, our Facebook Live page. We invite you, share the news with your friends. I think you will be truly entertained, inspired, and uplifted. Have a watch party. Join us. And for some reason, if you can't, we'll keep it up so you can watch it again. Whatever you do, participate. Let your voice be heard. And we just thank you. And our partner at WBGO, you guys have, you know, you really have stood the test of time, and you make such a difference. You make a huge difference. And in those early days, when everything seemed upside down, Doug, we could turn on the radio and hear you guys. That meant the world. And again, I think it's that consistency, that continuity, to know that there are a few things that even in the pandemic, you're there. And so I feel so grateful for you and to WBGO. You have always stood in our corner. And quite frankly, the truth be told, there wouldn't be a Jazz House if it weren't for WBGO and Dorothon Kirk, who invited me some 18 years ago to do a little program for kids. I did that, and we built a Jazz House, and we've been building one ever since.
Melissa Walker, the president and founder of Jazz House Kids. The event, once again, is June 19th at 7:30, Playing Through the Changes. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.